Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Jeff Pilgrim to commence another chapter of Office Wife.
Poor old Stiller. I shouldn't have been so tough on her this morning, but I'd like to know what anyone else would have been in my shoes. Last night we had a date for dinner and a show. She decided I needed some discipline or something and went out with Denny Puller instead, leaving me, as they say, for dead. And after I'd waited a while, who should show up but Marcia? And, to cut a long story short, we made a night of it, dancing and so forth. But this morning, I began to wonder. I thought what a rotten show it'd be if Stella had turned up after all. And when she said she'd been out with Denny Puller, all I could do was laugh my head off. Instead of being mad with rage and jealousy, as the poor girl had a perfect right to expect. You can imagine how she went on, can't you?
Oh.
Never let it happen to you, chaps. Not unless you're wearing your armor.
Good morning. D.A. Pilgrim Agency. Yes, just a moment, please.
DeWitt Robertson for you, Jeff.
That's her. Pilgrim speaking. Yes, all right. Oh, good morning, sir. Yes, I think I can manage that, Mr. Robertson. Thanks very much. Good of you to say, sir. Very well, sir. 12 o'clock. Well.
What did Robertson want?
Didn't say. But I can hazard a pretty good guess from the rich, ripe geniality of his tone.
You don't like him much, do you, dear?
In the last analysis, my dear, I am a huckster. If they want to shower me with gold, I put my likes and dislikes in my pocket like a good backstepping businessman.
You know perfectly well that's not true. Well, not a tenth as much as it is of some people, anyway.
The difference, Stella, is that I'm not a hypocrite about it. I don't chase them socially for their business, and I try to avoid that warm arm round the shoulder act when I meet them at golf. Here I am flaunting my halo. I'd better get cracking if I'm going to be on time with Robertson.
Don't forget your lunch at one with Francis Glover.
I would, no, I mustn't do that. Where's my hat? Hold the fort.
And Jeff, if you do happen to accidentally run into Marcia, do you think you could force yourself back here before 5 to sign those checks?
Yes, my sweeting. I'll be back.
Oh, why do I say those things? If only I could get my hooks into that man.
Well, by Jingo Pilgrim, you're looking splendid. Splendid. Have a cigar.
No, thanks, sir. I'll have a cigarette, if I may.
Oh, go right ahead. What have you been doing with yourself lately? Getting any golf?
I played 18 holes last Saturday morning. I was all right on the fairway, but my approach shots... couldn't do a thing there.
Ah, we all have those off days. By Jove, that chap Palmer, eh? What sort of a scoundrel do you call him? When I picked up the paper the other day and read what had happened, I said to myself, there you are, Robertson. You've been right all the time. And I told the chaps at the club, too. Pilgrim, I said. Jeff Pilgrim at the bottom of that fraud? Not on your life. Mark my words, you fellows, I said. The truth about that business will come to light one day. And I was right. My jingo, yes. It just goes to show.
Yes, Mr. Robertson, it just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, want some business?
Your business, certainly I do.
I'll tell you what I've got in mind. Even when I was dealing with you at Bendigo's, I had my accounts spread over several different firms. But it's not a satisfactory arrangement. Not satisfactory at all. So I'm taking the plunge. I'm going to put all my eggs in one basket.
That sounds very interesting.
And what about you, Pilgrim? Could you handle it?
What's your appropriation for the year, sir?
$32,000. Makes you blink, eh?
That's a big account in anyone's language. Yes, I can handle it, sir, and handle it well. that I shouldn't care to have it on my hands for another month or so, at least.
Why not? If you don't want it, just say so.
Well, I want it, all right, but I'm stuck for office space and stuff. I'm trying to get a couple of extra girls right now, but where I'm going to put them, I really haven't the faintest idea.
Well, one thing is certain. You won't be able to look after me single-handed. Huh. It'd be a pity for you to lose an opportunity like this just for want of a roof over your head and a couple of typists.
I'll tell you what, sir. Can you leave it in abeyance for a week? I've been dickering for offices a little way out of town. There's not a hope in life of getting anything in the city proper. And I should know one way or the other within the week.
I don't know. I don't care much for the idea of having you stuck way out in the suburbs. I'm getting to want you on tap, on the spot at a minute's notice and so on. You know, conferences and things.
Yes, but if I can't get space in town, I can't.
Well, we'll let it go for a week then, but no longer. I won't make any promises. You can count on it if you find yourself a city address. But you mustn't hold me to this if you find yourself operating in a block of flats somewhere. Shall we leave it at that?
Very well, sir. I'm sorry, I can't sign a contract with you this minute.
Oh, it's all right. I understand. Hi, Jigo, what's the time? I have an appointment for lunch.
Yes, so have I. I have to get a move on. Goodbye, sir. Oh, there you are, Frank. Hope I'm not too late.
Ah, you're right on time. Shall I order a drink?
See if they have any of that pale lager.
Good man. That I think we can do. I'm having soup and fish and there's a stone on the menu. I'll ask something or other. Looks as though it might be all right.
We'll make it for two. Listen, what was that you said on the phone about a fairy godmother?
Oh, just one of my mild little jests. You see, Jeff, there's a whisper going about that you're getting DeWitt Robertson's account. After Vinnie Puller's, the best and biggest in town.
You heard? I've just this minute come from Robertson. The account's mine if I can get myself roomier offices in town, but there's not much hope if I can't.
Is that so?
Why? Is it of any significance to you?
Way, yes. Now, just a minute. a bottle of pale ale, consomme julienne, and sold for two. Okay, where was I? Ah, yes. Now, Jeff, as I see it, the setup with you and Bendigo is this. Bendigo's had three or four of the best accounts in town, and they lost them one after another in Harry Palmer's heyday. Without efficient top management, Bendigo's aren't going to get those accounts back. Not in a month of Sundays. So, what's going to happen? Master's going to cut down and cut down until sooner or later, Trezor de Bendigo and Company will consist of a collection of people twiddling their thumbs for want of something to do. Those that are left, that is.
Well, where do I come in?
Well, I'll tell you. While Bendigo's are withering on the vine, what's happening to you? You're going ahead in leaps and bounds. You're getting account after account. And you're going to be looking everywhere for experienced account executives. Girls to operate your IBM machines, when you get them. And premises to conduct your business in. Right?
Well, you've told me nothing new.
Now, where's the logical place for you to get all these people? From Bendigo's, of course, as they leave. Why shouldn't they go straight over to you? Because you won't be able to run your show without a big staff. It's going to take you years. Unless you get outside backing and share your profits, to expand to that extent in years in which you'll be missing some wonderfully thick cream. Now, look at it this way. You're getting the Bendigo accounts. You're pulling the Bendigo organization to bits in order to set up your own. In duplicate, as it were. And there's only one thing holding you up. Premises. And seeing you're well on the way to getting all that Bendigo's once had, why not go the whole hog and get their premises too? Can you name me a better spot than the Bendigo building? With the staff, the equipment, and the organization all ready made for you?
You make it sound wonderful, Frank. How do I go about it? Just walk it in, say to Marcia, scram?
No. I can tell you in one word. Merger.
Just a minute, you're getting in over my head.
Oh, no. This is my home ground. I know what I'm talking about. Bendigo's a proprietary company. I'd like to see you and Marcia float a public company. You take a block of shares yourself in lieu of your own concern, set yourself up as managing director. Well, the details can come later. But just look what it would mean to you. You'd make more money from the word go. You can move in and run a well-organized, growing concern, take your big accounts with you, and
you could pull Marcia out of the wood at the same time. Now think of it. Bendigo Pilgrim Limited. You'd be set for life in your own building. You could cut the ground out from under every competitor in town and make yourself, I don't know how much. By George, Jeff, I only wish I was in your shoes.
Listen to me. This isn't a pipe dream, is it?
You grab with both hands, old boy, and it'll be no pipe dream.
What'll be the first move?
Talk to Marcia, of course. She doesn't know a thing about it. This is entirely my own idea.
Would you take over, you know, the accounting and all the legal stuff and so on? Maybe stay on as secretary to the firm?
You bet your sweet life I would.
Francis Glover, shake on it. I'll see Marcia tonight, and you'd better be there, too. Oh, boy, here's the soup, but with a gizzard fluttering like mine, I'm down if I know how I'm going to eat it. Oh, boy! There you are, Stella. What do you say to that? According to Glover, we couldn't go wrong.
Sounds marvelous. For you.
I should say it does.
Sounds pretty good for Marcia, too. Where will she fit in exactly in this glorious new order of things?
Oh, I imagine she'll be glad to take a back seat. She'll be swamped with the profits and tickled pink to be able to leave the running of the company to me.
So everything in the garden's lovely. Just lovely. But you seem to have forgotten just one thing, Jeff, darling.
Oh? What's that?
I've a pretty big interest in this little concern of ours, and I haven't been consulted. All I'd like to know is, what's going to happen to me? I don't mind the idea of Jeff merging with Bendigo's. I don't mind the idea of making lots and lots of beautiful money. But to marry into a situation where I'll have Marcia Pilgrim under my feet morning, noon, and night? Oh, no. That doesn't suit me at all.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.